Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read together verses 1 through 5, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, we thank you, God, and we praise you. We exalt you and magnify you. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Living in Perilous Times. Living in Perilous Times. When I was a young boy, at the age from 5 through 12, when we would play in the yard, in front yard, and we would play in the schoolyard, and we would sometimes play football on our street till about 9 o'clock at night. And our parents knew where we were because we were real close. It was a really narrow street. We lived on 1927 Orange Street, National City, and a whole lot of kids were, and we'd play and play and play. The television programs at the time were Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver. There were Lost in Space. Okay, that's way back, isn't it? For some of you, it probably just went over your head. But today's shows are Harry and Scary, Lucy and Juicy. Oh, come on. Everywhere you turn, we are inundated with sex, sexual promiscuity, drugs. Our society is so violent. This is why kids shouldn't even be in the street no more when the sun sets. We're living in perilous times. And the Bible talks about that during the times of the end, before Jesus returns, that our society, not just in the United States, but around the world, was going to be dark. But I'm here to let us know that this is the time that the church, the born-again church, washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Spirit of God, we need to rise up in truth. Can I get amen? And we need to be a bright light shining in the midst of darkness. For right now, the darkness, the gross darkness, has covered the land. You can't even walk into a Walmart anymore not knowing who's coming in to shoot it up. And then a couple of weeks ago, in the Chula Vista Library, where they have now, and also National City, have allowed transgender, people?
Entertainers.
No, queen, what are they?
Drag queens.
Yes, drag queens. To teach our children the gross things that God says is an abomination. And yet, society has embraced it now. Well, this shouldn't take us by surprise. Why? Because Jesus said that in the last days, perilous times will be here. Now, let's look at this. Let's read verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. They are here right now. Can I get amen? Amen. They're here right now. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Everything now in the movies, everything now on television is unholy. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Jesus said in the last days that evil will be spoken of as good, and good is evil. And we see that now. Look at verse 4. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. There's churches now that will not talk about Revelation. It's called the Convergent Church. Are you familiar with that? They have taken out the truth of God and they have replaced it with fairy tales. And this is the movement right now. How many of you know who, I believe his name is Dr. Reagan. Dave Reagan from Lamb and Lion Ministries. He had an evangelist on his show, and he showed all the churches across the United States who is now moving to what's called the Convergent Church. Yes, where they are eliminating the doctrines of the Bible all the way from the apostles in the book of Acts. They are taking those things out, making it lukewarm, and making it so easy for people that would come in and know no difference between what's holiness and what's unrighteous. It's happening right before our eyes. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Can I get amen? Amen. So let's look at verse 1 once again. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Saints of God, this reference to the last day reveals Paul's sense of urgency. It should be urgent for us. Can I get amen? It should be. But warnings about the last days were certainly not unique to Paul. It was a common theme among the leaders of the early church. And we'll find this in several scriptures. In the book of Acts, the book of James, 2 Peter, and Jude. It's mentioned throughout the Word of God. And so very difficult times means hard to bear, dangerous, and troublesome. How do you feel? How do you think the people in Texas, the people in Michigan, the people that lost loved ones when someone would come in and just mow them down with the, what's it, an AK-47? My goodness. But this is what we're seeing in the days that we live in. It's gross darkness. My brother David, he is an investigator for the DA's office. He shared with me, he said, the number one crime in San Diego, it's not illegals crossing, it's not drugs, it's not gangbangers, but on the top of the list is sex trafficking. Something that we don't hear about. But they're overwhelmed with case after case after case after case. Let's look at Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. This is the time, saints, that in these last days that we need to press. Can I get amen? In prayer and fasting and seeking God. Why? I'm always saying, God, give me a vision. Lord, give me a dream. Lord, show me your will in these last days. And you know what? God is faithful. God is faithful. Can I get an amen? Look what James says. That he said it like this. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the what? Last days. You know, there's some people that won't share Jesus. They call themselves Christians. They won't testify. They won't witness. They won't go pray for anybody, but I'm a Christian. Well, God says you've heaped up all kinds of things upon you. My goodness. My goodness. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Wow. And look what the, how many of you have heard people saying, yeah, right, we're in the last days. Yeah, right, Jesus is coming. Well, you know the word of God prophesied that many would say that. Look at this in 2 Peter. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own, what? Lusts. So saints, Paul's warning, it truly deserves full attention. Can I get amen? The last days began after Jesus' resurrection when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers at Pentecost. Aren't you so blessed that when the Holy Ghost fell on you, God enlightened you, he strengthened you, he opened up your eyes of enlightenment and your mind for understanding? The last days began when Jesus' resurrection, when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers at Pentecost. The last days will continue until Christ's second coming. Hallelujah. These last 2 days were another dress rehearsal. Can I get amen? Now we look for a whole nother year serving God. I look at it like this. God's given us more grace to serve him, to love him, to worship, and pray for our family members. Can I get amen? And our friends. How many of you want your family members this year to get saved? Oh, come on. That's God's grace. That's God's mercy. So Paul could speak about the last days as a future event, saints, emphasizing conditions present at the close of the last days, or as a present reality, emphasizing the truth that the state of the depravity of man in the world lets us know that there's now a ripe harvest that's about to take place. Last Sunday, nobody wanted to leave in here because the Holy Ghost was all over us. I really believe that's the draw. That's what's going to bring in souls, is the fire of God. Can I get amen? God's fire is going to bring in souls. I remember, I'm just going to share this briefly. When I attended North Park Apostolic Church 30 years ago, I used to just get out of my car in the parking lot. And then as soon as I got close to the building, the anointing of God was already there. Already there. And we had an all-night worship. It was an all-night prayer. You ever been to an all-night prayer? It started at 7 in the evening, and everyone went home about 8 o'clock in the morning the next day. But I recall at 11 o'clock, the worship was just so thick. It was so intense. And everyone started looking up, and there was a cloud in the ceiling. And I was going, oh, my gosh. And the anointing, everyone was like drunk, like the corners of your mouth were pinned to your ears, and you were just drunk in the Holy Spirit. His presence was so thick. Now, across the street, the gas attendant, he saw the cloud and he called the fire department. The fire department came, and they said, we're told that there was a fire in here. Yeah, I go, come on in, there is a fire in here. They couldn't see the glory cloud, but we all did. And God allowed that man across the street to see it. A true story. I want to see the glory cloud come again. Can I get amen? So let's look at verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Saints, when people misdirect their love toward themselves and money, there can be no love left to direct it toward others. Do you know, people, that it's all about me, myself, and I? It's all about me. And someone that you know is hurting, and it doesn't matter. We're living in those times. We're living in the days where we're seeing the most gross atrocities ever. Let me just say this. in the city of Houston. Remember, it was 3 years ago when it first got flooded. Why did that place get so flooded out? What happened to that city was prophesied by the Indian prophet from India that came. When he stepped off the plane, God spoke to him and said, this city is going to be flooded. That was 3 years ago. Why did it get flooded? Well, a reporter, an underground reporter, came in and started filming at the it's the capital. It's the number one headquarters for all Planned Parenthood. But he got in and he had a hidden camera on him, and he got to know the people, and they trusted him, and they were walking him through the whole entire operation. And he filmed where they would take body parts from the aborted babies, and they would put them in special different jars to sell them. They would sell them to scientific labs across the nation and around the world. And when he brought it forth to the media, guess what happened to him?
He went to jail.
He went to prison. Why? Because the federal court said, you went in there undermining them. And so we're not going to prosecute them. We're going to prosecute you. And the Indian prophet said God was going to flood that city because of that abomination, and he did. And you know what they were doing during the time of the first flood? Because it just got flooded again. But the first flood, Planned Parenthood was sending out all kinds of commercials on radio and television saying that, women, we still have care for you. And if you need services, we will pay for them. Did you catch that? In other words, they didn't get it. They didn't realize that they're under judgment. And yet, the abominations kept going forth. My. And so their organization has become even more wealthier. But God is going to have his final say. Can I get amen? God is going to judge them severely. And we need to pray that these people either repent, because should they not repent, they will perish. They will perish. So when people misdirect their love toward themselves and money, there could be no love left, saints, to direct it toward others. Then moral corruption naturally results, as noted in the following characteristics. Look at this. To be boastful and proud pictures a heart full of pride that manifests itself outward boastfulness. There's people, they boast in their arrogance. My goodness. And such characteristics reveals a person's inflated self-importance and necessarily leads them to looking down on others. Look at this. Scoffing at God means speaking disrespectfully of him. Oh, you don't know people like that, do you? They're all over the place. Especially in our institutions, in our schools, our colleges, our high schools, our middle schools. They have kicked God out now. This is why we have a generation of spiritual barbarians. Why? Because they took the name of God out. At Brother Felipe's celebration of life for his wife, his three children, by God's grace, were homeschooled by their mother. One's going to be a brain surgeon. The other one works for NASA. And the other one is a journalist. And I hope that she'll be a conservative voice for maybe Fox Network. But when you raise up children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and you instill in them righteousness and holiness, For the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And to me, it was a blessing to see that this woman's labor is not in vain. She sowed in her children, and they've turned out to be awesome kids. They went home today. They flew back to their cities. Josiah is in Florida. Abigail and Octavia are back now in Minnesota. But what a wonderful story to know that holiness and righteousness is still prevalent in our society today. Can I get amen? Amen. In the midst of darkness. So, saints, the extent of moral degeneration can be seen in the rejection of the most intimate human ties with many blatantly disobedience to their parents. That's where, listen, our society, the reason why we have a generation of rebels is most of them have no father in the home. So what is this? What does our government do? This is how corrupt it is. They promote fornication, and when they fornicate, then they have a child, then the father removes himself because he doesn't want responsibility, and now the woman's left and is supported by the government. And this is why we have a corrupt welfare system. It's corrupt. To me, I look at it, it's very satanic. I don't know if you see it that way, but I do. And they're promoting these things in society. It's okay to fornicate. That's why every sitcom that you see, that's all they do is sleep with one another. And that's all they promote. And the father is gone. So the father is no longer there to instill obedience and to raise them up and to help the mother. And so millions of families throughout the land have no father at home. And so the kids, they raise themselves. And some who are looking for leaders, they find them in gangs. They find them in social clubs. Other than the home. The Bible's clear. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. The commandment was given because God understood the importance of strong families. To honor parents means speaking well of them, politely to them. It also means acting in a way that shows them courtesy and respect. I thank and praise God that my kids, two that came for me, and there's two that came for Sister Yolanda. And we have a blended family. We understood that from the very beginning. But our witness testified to even her children. But the two that were given to me by God before I even met Sister Yolanda, I raised those kids in church. They never saw anything but the grace of God. My daughter was about 4, and my son Anthony was about 1.5, and they never seen anything but righteousness and holiness sown into their hearts. And I praise God. My daughter now is married to a worship leader, and she homeschools 4 of my grandkids. And she sows into their life, just like Sister Aunt Therese did with her children. Let me tell you, that takes a whole lot to do something like that. And my son, he's in ministry in Arkansas, and he runs one of the biggest coffee companies called Onyx Coffee Labs. And he's the number one guy that they need. He helped establish 5 coffee shops throughout Arkansas. And they fly him to every state. I mean, I thank God that they didn't go astray. I thank God that righteousness was instilled in them from a child. And we never wavered in our faith. All they saw was we kept pressing, that we kept living for God, that we kept praying for them, that we kept laying hands on them, and we kept instilling the things that God calls righteous and holiness. I see the Facebook page, and the family of Brother Juan Hidalgo and his children are doing beautiful and wonderful. Why? Because there's a godly man in the home. And when the godly father is in the home, let me tell you, everything starts to click right. Can I get an amen? Because the woman, the mother is the heart of the home. And the father is the one that brings instructions and direction and also instilling them righteousness from the word of God, that they would be obedient. And he would bring, ultimately, discipline. Can I get amen? That's what the father does. And we need godly fathers in the time that we live in. Can I get amen? And so when parents are not respected and honored, disobedience naturally results, and the breakdown of the family easily follows. Paul understood that when families fall apart, very difficult times follow. Why? Because we are very sinful people, and we need a holy God. How many believe we need a holy God? We need God's word. We need instructions from God. People are in a sad state when they are ungrateful and cannot appreciate anything. But in Romans 1:21, Paul noted that the ingratitude was second only to dishonoring God as a just cause for God's judgment on humanity. Look at this. And look at what it says in Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress truth and unrighteousness. That's the society we live in. Jesus said it would be like that in the times that we would live in. And it's so clear. And look at this. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are out with excuse. Let me just say this. All the atheists and all the those that are agnostics that say, well, there might be a God or the man upstairs. No, God has clearly manifested his glory just on this earth with the trees and the water and the food and the sun and the stars and the sky. That alone bears witness that there's a mighty God. Can I get an amen? Now look at this. Because also they, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. They became fools. So saints, this leads them to consider nothing sacred. There's nothing sacred in our society no more. Look what they're doing to our president. Every day, they're trying to find dirt. But let me just say this. God has anointed that man, whether you like him or not. And look at all, it's almost like the gates of hell comes against him. And you know what? It runs off like water down the back of a duck. My goodness. You can hate him all day long. But when God put him there, guess what? It's unshakable. Let me just say this. You have to understand that Rabbi Jonathan Cahn said he's like a type of Cyrus. Many prophetic teachers say he's a type of Cyrus. Now, if you understood who Cyrus was, he wasn't a religious guy. He wasn't. And yet God used a non-religious guy to take the kingdom. And guess who came with him? Someone that loved God. And he said, get on my chariot. We're going to take the kingdom. And that's like today, Trump and Mike Pence. He's got his man of God right there with him. Man, it's almost like it all goes in circles, huh? It comes back around. How many of you are praying for him? Because the enemy wants to take him out. But not one hair, and he's got that weird hairdo anyway, but not one hair will be touched by the evildoer because God has anointed him. Can I get amen? Yeah, I laugh at him. There's some strange stuff that come out of him. But you know what? God called him. And if you don't know this, I'm going to let you know now. He has put already 150 righteous judges throughout the land. If he does anything, would be that righteousness would prevail. Can I get amen? All these ungodly judges, man, he's replacing them with those that would stand for righteousness, that those would stand for godly morals. 150 judges are replaced already. My goodness. This is what we've been praying for. Can I get amen? Yeah, I know some folk don't like him. That's okay. There's always going to be haters. Huh? There's always going to be haters. That's okay. Let them hate. But you can't box against God, and your arms are too short to box with God. All he has to do is flick you like a flea. Bam. Who are you? So, verse 3, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. This is what we see in society today, huh? People will be unloving. The same word is used in only one other place in the New Testament. It's found in Romans 1:31. It's in a passage where Paul listed the characteristics of people who refuse God and follow their own inclinations. My goodness, look at this. Right here in Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Look what it says in Romans 1:31 here. Let me get there. In Romans 1:31, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are what? Worthy of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Uh-oh. Did you catch that? I want you to catch that final passage of Scripture. It says in verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are what? Worthy of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So in other words, you may not be maybe doing those things, but if you're agreeing with them, God says you're approving it. So don't be watching that stuff. Yay! Be careful. God is saying be careful. Don't approve those things that practice ungodliness. Because God will have to judge. How many don't want to be judged by God? Come on. I want to be blessed by him. Can I get amen? I don't want God's wrath to fall. My goodness. So saints, indeed, because these people love only themselves and their money, possessions, as Paul noted in verse 2, they are unloving toward everyone and everything else. Unforgiving people cannot allow for other people's mistakes or weaknesses. I've seen some people in this church and many churches, they can't forgive their brother and sister. That's a sad day, isn't it? Jesus says, if you cannot forgive, neither will my Father forgive you. That's his word. Can I get amen? They simply refuse to forgive, even if presented with the opportunity. Let's move on to verse 4. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look at this, saints. Traitors. This word is used in the New Testament only here in Luke 16 and Acts 7:50. It means anyone who betrays, whether it be a friend or his country. Treason has been in all ages regarded as one of the most worst crimes that a man can commit. Traitors. You know, this is my personal opinion. But when a man and a woman come to the altar and they say their I do's, and they get married before man and God, and then down the road, their relationship ends in a divorce. To me, that's a traitor. Because they made their covenant with God. And there's many types of other kind of people that are considered traitors. But I look just in our own government, and there's all kinds of traitors. We're living in some rough times. I know you probably came to hear Mark chapter 14, but God said, bring this message tonight to help us understand the times that we live in. There's churches that won't teach this. They won't. Who was a traitor that you could think of in the New Testament? Who? Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot also became a what? Traitor. Traitor! My goodness. My goodness. Look at this in Acts 7:52. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you have now become the betrayers and what? Murderers. And look what heady means. The same word in Acts 19:36 is rendered rashly. It occurs only there in this place in the New Testament. Heady. That means just high-minded. Therefore, saints, these things cannot be denied. You ought to be quiet and do nothing what? Rashly. Saints, it properly means falling forward, prone, inclined, ready to do anything, then precipitate, headlong, rash. It is opposed to that which is deliberate and calm. And here means that men would be ready to do anything without deliberation or concern for the consequences. They would engage in enterprises which could only disturb society, disrupt, prove their own ruin. And this is what we're seeing today. And then they're high-minded, literally puffed up, where the same word is rendered, lifted up with pride. The meaning is that they would be inflated with pride or self-conceit. This is why, in the times we live in, we need men like Brother Juan to rise up in faith and to take the seats of prominent places to proclaim righteousness across his land. Can I get an amen? And what we see here is lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Everywhere you go, television, billboards, it's all about sex. That's all that's promoted in our middle school, in our elementary, in our high schools. All they want to teach you is sex, 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 sex. It's everywhere. My brother David, as I shared, the number one crime in San Diego County is sex trafficking. My goodness. Saints, we are definitely living in the last days. I hope you know that. How many believe that? We're living in the last days. And we need men and women to rise up in faith. Rise up in faith. Look what Philippians 17 says, or 3:17. Brethren, join in the following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Once again, there's no one that holds the Word of God in high esteem. The final authority is in His Word. And it's no longer opened anymore. I won't put three churches that I know on blast, but there's three big churches that people don't even bring in their Bibles. They give out little leaflets, and all they do is just have music, and then they give a story. And they're filled with people. My, my, my. And one of them is in Chula Vista, and their congregation is about 3,500. And they have three services in the morning. How do I know that? Because my sister used to attend there. And she told me everything that goes on there. And it's like, oh my gosh. The Bible says in the last days that there would be a famine. And you know what that famine is? For the Word of God. For God's Word. They would go to and fro. Praise God. This is why you need to pray for little churches like this that's not afraid to speak truth. Can I get amen? That will proclaim the gospel. Man, I get hit with attacks left and right. Sister Yolanda knows that. But you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to us Gentiles. Can I get amen? Never be ashamed. Always proclaim. Always proclaim. And the last verse of scripture is having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, what? Turn away. Turn away. Saints of God, nowadays, no one understands what it means to be born again. So people just say, oh, you know what? Just accept Christ. And you're saved. Just accept Him in your life and you're saved. Remember what we taught last Sunday? But no one's teaching this no more. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do these miracles unless God is with them. And what did Jesus say? Truly, truly. Or most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so look how Nicodemus, this was a religious man. You got to remember, he understood the scrolls and he understood the scribes and he was part of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and they grew up under the law. But they didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were very religious. And there's a lot of folks that are very religious and never been born again. But Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He thought that you had to crawl right back up into your mother's womb and come out again. How silly is that? Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of what? The Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. I know for a fact, Saturday where, I believe it's what, the 12th, brother? I know the pastor of that church. I've been there many times. It used to be called Revival Tabernacle. And now it's called, I believe, The Anchor. And it's Pastor Larson. I remember, man, we used to go during Easter, and they would have a live play. They'd have a horse coming through there, all the animals, and the whole play of the resurrection. I don't know if they do that anymore, but it was awesome. But I do know one thing that they emphasized there, that you must be born again. I know him very well. He's Holy Ghost filled. But there's churches that will not teach this no more. Oh, just receive them. And they come in and leave no differently than how they came in. Nothing has changed on the inside. They're still walking around in an unregenerated state. Saints, we need to pray. We're in the last days. Can I get amen? And we need to ask God's grace. We need to ask God's mercy. We need to ask God's love. And that his anointing would be upon us mightily. And so let's pray that God's perfect will continue to be in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I know it's a tough message, but God, you wrote these scriptures. You are the one that said that in the times, in the days that we would live in, these things would be so. And so, God, I'm praying, Lord, that a mighty harvest will take place in these last days, God. I pray that you would use us as beacons of hope for others. I pray for all the churches that honor you, Jesus, where the Word of God is their anchor, and that they would always proclaim you and honor you. I pray for our families. I pray for those who are unsaved, Lord, that maybe this would be the year that they would give their hearts and truly repent of their sins. And I'm praying for those who are listening to this message. I'm praying that if you've never given your heart to Jesus, it first starts with acknowledging that you have sinned against a holy God and that you would repent of your sins and you would cry out for forgiveness and that you would recognize that he died, he was buried, and he rose again for you and for me, and that his blood that he shed on the cross will cleanse you of all your sins. And it's all done by faith. And if you're listening and God is touching your heart, let us pray with you. But don't let this be just a little simple prayer. I'm praying that you would truly surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and make an about face. Turn from the ways of this world and start walking toward the cross. Ask God to come into your life and make you a brand new person on the inside. Experience the true love of God and truly be born of God. So pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise and glory in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the praise.